Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at several Black Panther stories for Black History Month. It's going to be really cool. Let's go.
I want to apologize real quick if the audio got a little crispy there. I think I had it turned up a little too high.
Sounds good to me, but I'm also legally deaf.
Yeah, just I heard something.
Just a quick funny to start you all off. We are setting up this podcast and then quickly realized that Drew and I read different Black Panther stories.
Yeah. Can you pull
it's
up?
It's my fault.
Can you pull up both of the covers just so that we can show where the confusion came from? Because I almost, when I pulled up Marvel Unlimited, starting reading the one that Alex read, but then I was like, no, this feels different. So I went back and I clicked on the other one.
Just so I can zoom in on both of these. Are you pulled in on the thing, Tori? So here's the one that Drew read from 2016, which was the correct assignment. This is my fault. And then here's the one I read. Look how similar these art styles are on the covers.
Same like artist or same writer.
It's same writer, but I mean, they like obviously took some inspiration from this one here. Yeah. So anyway,
funny thing is, I was texting saying, "Man, I'm having a hard time following this," and Alex felt the same way, and he read a completely different story.
Yeah.
So
same writer though. So maybe there's a theme with Ta-Nehisi Coates who wrote both of these.
Just playing the long game. You know, because like that's the thing, like I around issue 3-4, I was like, what's going on? I'm having a hard time diving in. But once I got to 8, 9, 10, I was like, makes sense now.
Yeah. I think at least from my inference from your experience reading 2016's, which is volume 7, and then me reading volume 8 by the same writer, is that this was never intended to be like a 6-issue miniseries.
Yeah.
And they're actually taking their time to spread it out. Yeah. So we cover a lot of 6-issue miniseries, and we even read several of them in our spare time just for our own personal reading. So I think if you get used to that format and then you're 4 issues in and you haven't really like moved very much, you're kind of like, what's going on? Are there really only 2 issues and this is done? But
it doesn't feel like this was written as much to be collected for the trade, even though it would have been compiled in a trade.
Right. With a massive cliffhanger, I guess.
Yeah.
Not even.
Well, I don't know.
Cliffhanger we to read the
different things.
Yeah.
So I will say, normally we pick stories that we've read in the past. Neither of us have read a whole lot of Black Panther, but Marvel Unlimited specifically cites this one, the 2016 one, as a good jumping on point. So we picked it not knowing anything.
Right.
So,
and then I didn't read it.
So bear with us.
Yeah. I will say also that this, the correct one that we were supposed to read, which Drew is going to give you a more detailed look at, I'll touch on some of the stuff that happened in mine. But in case any of you want to go through and read the last 5 years of Black Panther, you'll have the opportunity.
To be truthful, I'm not going to finish 2016's run. I made it to like 8, and I can talk a little bit about 9, 10. I didn't put notes down. And then there's a whole other year of books that I do plan to read before I get to Alex's stuff, and then a whole other year of books, and then we get to ones that I accidentally read. So we've covered, I've read 2016 and 2022.
Right.
And you've covered 2018.
2018, yeah.
Wow.
Which, there's some cool stuff. I am jealous that you got to see right after Secret Wars Black Panther to see what the landscape's like for that character.
It took me a while to realize, okay.
Yeah, Black Panther is coming out of Secret Wars, which kind of reset everything. Before we get into that, though, Drew, where can they find us on social media?
You can find us on Twitter at Two Man Comic Book with the number 2. Facebook and Instagram, just look. Words are hard. Two Man Comic Book Club, also with the number 2. We'd love it. This is 105 issues now. We're switching over to the legacy numbering, even though if you listen to the last one, we called it episode 100. There were some minisodes we didn't cover. But anyway, we're 105 in. If you've been listening even to a portion of them and you like what we're doing, we'd love for you to let us know on Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and review. You can leave ratings and reviews on Spotify now.
Yep.
I don't know how we would access that. But anyway, also, if you're digging it, we'd love to have some financial support if you wanted to jump over to patreon.com/two-man-comic-book-club.
Yeah, there's some low tiers that really help us out and produce this show at a higher level, and some cool incentives too.
Yep. I can't remember anything else. Discord.
Yeah.
There's a link in the show notes. Chat with us. I just posted a link to a blog I made about my ranking of all the comic books that I can remember reading in the last couple of years.
Which is if you want to check that out. Stuff, and there were surprising placements in there from what I would have done. You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E on all social media platforms. Like always, Bruce Wayne, Alex Wayne, same person. Never seen us in the room together, right?
Yeah, I've never seen you and Batman in the same room. Or Bruce Wayne. You made the top tier of my list, Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
If you want to find me, I welcome you to visit drewmorrismusic.com. You can find ways to reach me and learn about me there. Torrance?
You can find me on the astral plane searching for Nirvana.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah. Have you seen Doctor Strange there ever? He hangs out in the astral plane.
I have not.
Okay. cool. So before we get into Black Panther by Ta-Nehisi Coates, which we did confirm that is how you pronounce their name. Drew, what you been reading? Yo,
a whole lot. It's been a couple of weeks since we recorded or maybe 1 week. Sorry, I'm burping into the mic. I read a bunch of little one-offs. Mycroft Holmes, the first two issues by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yes, you heard that right. That was in the collection.
I forgot that he's read comic
books. That Colby got me for Christmas. I read a couple other from that that collection. I also read the first two books, or the first book of the new She-Hulk run that I bought in the comic store. Rainbow Rowell wrote that. And I also read the first Daredevil, Woman with No Fear, or something like that. Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah, new stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And then
did you pick that up, or did you read that on Marvel
Unlimited? I picked them up.
Oh, cool.
Are they on Marvel Unlimited yet?
I didn't know how new it was. I feel like Zdarsky's been writing Daredevil for a long time. I also knew that Elektra was Daredevil now, so hashtag spoiler. I didn't know when that transition happened, because I've read like the first 30 issues of Daredevil, which is really good. Highly recommend if you haven't read it. I wasn't sure where that was.
This is a number one of Daredevil, Woman with No Fear, or something, Woman Without Fear. And it does talk about how she'd been there for a while. I think this is just kind of the first series.
Established as her.
It's interesting. I also read the first three Black Panther 2022 books by John Ridley, which have events that are still unfolding based off of things I read in 2016. Well, I didn't read it in 2016, but we'll talk about that more later. And then I have two big series that I want to talk about real quick. I finally finished reading Skyward, an Image comic. It's the one we've talked about briefly where gravity just disappears. And I've read the first volume that's available on Comixology, but I found like the compendium of the 15-issue story for super cheap, and I bought that, and I read it over the past couple days. That's really good, really interesting, good art, good story, good everything. And I also finally made it to the Grant Morrison Doom Patrol years. Yeah. I started reading the 1986-87 Cooperberg Doom Patrol.
Which is like chewing on wood, right?
It was tough. It was tough. Honestly, if you're interested in Doom Patrol, just start it with issue 19 when Grant Morrison takes over, because it's a breath of fresh air. Like,
do they recoup? Like, could you jump in and like figure out who the characters are pretty quick, or do you need to read number one and then go read number 19?
Well, even the Cooperberg number one wasn't the first issue ever. Like, they exist.
Oh, gotcha.
Doom Patrol came out before X-Men, and then they just kind of had this zone of like not as interesting. But if you've watched any of the Doom Patrol DC Universe / HBO original movies or TV series, they're pulling from the Grant Morrison stuff.
Cool.
Like, I really think we should cover the first little Grant Morrison Doom Patrol miniseries at some point. It's a because the art even in the Cooperberg was just like, well, that was okay. A lot of really sloppy coloring. It's like, I don't know if they just didn't have a good quality scan of it or what. And then as soon as you turn the page to the Grant Morrison stuff, the story's more serious. It's more zany.
Yeah.
And the art is like really, like, it's not like anything I'd seen before.
Right.
It's like, I think you could hand a 1987 Doom Patrol Grant Morrison to anybody now, like put it up on the shelf next to other people and they'd open it up. And if it was printed on the same quality paper that people print now, people probably would have thought it had been written this year.
Awesome. Yeah, it's cool that he wrote that team after writing all the X-Men stuff, because he's like...
Well, Grant Morrison... De facto, oh, that's right. Did X-Men?
Yeah. Oh, like...
When?
In the 70s,
okay, so yeah. This would have been after that.
So this would be when he's like really established like continuity in the X-Men, and like honestly, he got kind of protective over it. He like didn't want other people to write X-books because of what he was building for a long time. But I mean, many people still regard him as like the X-Men writer.
Just to mention... Grant Morrison's come out as non-binary recently, so
thank you. Cool. Anything else?
I think that's all. I read a few other little one-offs, but I've already taken too much time talking about what I've been reading. I do have to say, definitely check out Skyward if that sounds interesting to you, and Doom Patrol. I think I might go back and reread the first little 4-issue mini arc because cool. I want to share the weirdness of Doom Patrol with the world.
I will allow it.
Cool. All right, what you been reading, yo?
I have read several things, so I'll start off with I was going through re-listening to some My Marvel this year just because I enjoy the show enough that I don't mind re-listening to some of the stuff and just learning about the comic book world. And they kept talking about like how Walt Simonson's Thor was just like this incredible book. And it's like the first appearance of Beta Ray Bill and you know him becoming worthy and taking Thor's hammer and then him getting Stormbreaker because Odin's like, you need your own hammer anyway. Went back and read that, so that was really cool. It's in the, let me see, when did this come out? It is definitely not 66. That's wrong. That's like the legacy thing. I don't know. 83, November 10th, 1983.
I feel like I just heard them talking about that on the show.
So. Yeah. So I read through several issues of that just to kind of get a feel for it. It still has a little bit of the Avast ye beast, old English Thor thing, which, mm-hmm. you know, depending on your preferences, that'll vary on how you actually take in that information. Anyway, what I've really been digging through, and if you're on the Discord, you would know this already, going back and reading Civil War, the whole mm-hmm. event. So I've read, let's see, The Amazing Spider-Man, read a few issues of that, Fantastic Four, Road to Civil War, a few issues of that, and then New Avengers Illuminati on the Road to Civil War. That comic is so good, and it's kind of just a recap comic, just like telling you where the Illuminati have been, establishing them, and then it kind of ends with them having to meet again to discuss the Superhuman Registration Act that leads to the Civil War. Just really cool, and then all the way up through the Civil War One book, the She-Hulk from 2005, a Wolverine solo series. Then there's this kind of cool one called Frontline, which is like literally a comic covering the frontline or the news reporters like the Daily Bugle and how they're handling dispersing the news during Civil War, which depending on how you like that sort of thing, there's less action in those books, not much fighting, but it is cool to kind of see like these people on the frontline reporting this massive event that was like Civil War is a huge event. Like there's a lot of books in it. There's a few issues of that. Thunderbolts. This is another one, honestly, that if you go through and read the entire Civil War event, it's Secret War adjacent as far as like getting a sampling of like mm-hmm. everything that's going on in the moment. And it should be nice to go back and like read this series again because lots of cool stuff. Also, a little foreshadowing for more Black History Month that we're doing. I read 3 to 4 issues of Truth, Red, White, and Black, which is a series that we'll be covering. If you watched the Falcon and the Winter Soldier Disney Plus series, you'll be aware of Isaiah Bradley, who was experimented on by the U.S. Mm-hmm. military along with other Black Americans, and they were injected with the super soldier serum, and this kind of tells that story, and this is where they pulled from the Disney Plus. So really cool, really heavy, admittedly, like they do not like dance around the subject of like race and racism and, you know, oppression and stuff like that. But I think appropriate for us to discuss during this month, and not just this month, but always like make sure that we're remembering our history. Mm-hmm. I think that's been about it for me, though. It's a lot of samplings of stuff through Civil War and then some prep work for the old podcast. What about you, Tori? What you been reading, yo?
Well, recently I finished the Marvel's the game, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, cool.
Which got me into reading, I think, the 2015.
Nice.
Run, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's been really fun. So yeah. That's what I've been doing.
If you come across a little 6-issue, 7-issue in there, I've been wanting to cover Guardians on this show, Guardians uh-huh. of the Galaxy. So if in your reading you come across a little thing like, this would be fun to talk about, let us know, because that's something that I've been wanting to
I think I've read that before. Guardians book, and I might even own some of it. Mm-hmm. Is there a scene in there somewhere where, maybe this is a Captain Marvel book, where Rocket Raccoon is essentially stealing stuff from a spaceship for his own travels? Like, he just walks in with this wagon, essentially, and starts throwing stuff on it, and he's like, I'm taking this.
I think so, yeah. That's
I can't remember what that happens there. Anyway, nice. Anything else before we jump into some
Black Panther? I wanted to ask, are you playing that? What platform are you playing that game on?
PC.
Okay. Yeah, because I noticed, I recently got a Switch, and I saw that there was an ad for that in one of the comics I'm reading right now, one of the new ones, and I was like, oh, it's available on Switch. And I thought about potentially looking into it, but I just wanted to ask what you were playing it on. I've heard
it's really good. And
yeah,
from multiple people.
I really enjoyed it. It's one of the best. I mean, I haven't read much Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's, as far as comic book stories,
right?
This video game is one of the best that
you've
experienced.
Yeah. I heard that same thing from Dave, the host of Comic Book Herald, the creator of Comic Book Herald, the host of My Marvelous Year. He was like, this is the best Guardians story I've ever heard, and I've read a lot of Guardians comics. So
nice.
For it to come from him is also like, whoa, big endorsement.
Yeah.
Cool. You want to start off with some 2016 Black Panther?
Do you feel equipped to give us a quick 60-second catch-up on the concept of Black Panther?
I sure can try.
All right. And I'm starting the timer, just kidding, now.
Cool. Black Panther was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, I believe. He has gone through many iterations over the year, but the most popular and well-known one is T'Challa, King T'Challa of Wakanda, which is this very advanced civilization that is hidden in Africa. They are known for their utilization and scientific prowess around the element of vibranium. Black Panther led by this guard. Well, the Black Panther is like a mantle that gets passed down through other people, and their original Black Panther was summoned by this spiritual deity named Bast, who has these incredible powers, enhanced strength, and all this, and she led them to this purple heart-shaped herb, which after consumed allows them to kind of inherit that spirit and become one with Bast and take on those powers. And they, this very advanced nation, they historically have had warlike times with the Atlanteans and Namor. It's kind of known that Namor and T'Challa do not like each other. T'Challa is a very stoic, thinking, smart, intelligent king, and cares about his people first. And
they mention in this, which I never heard because my only experience so far is with the MCU, that he's a scientist. And I was like, that's news to me, because it doesn't become relevant until like issue 8 of the 2016 run. But I was like, oh, I feel like to a certain extent, every superhero of all time has always been a scientist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's super powerful, like super strength. His suit can do a lot of stuff. And then again, the vibranium tech, we've seen some of this in the MCU, is pretty advanced as far as like its energy manipulation and reproduction. But like T'Challa, super strong, super smart, one of the smartest characters in the Marvel Universe, and like powerful enough, like he's wielded the Infinity Gauntlet before. So big time character, super cool character, and we're going to get to see more of them in this couple runs.
Sweet.
Black Panther.
We're going to be covering the 2016 to begin with. And I
sprinkle some 2018.
Yeah, I have my notes here. I'm going to do my best to go through this quick because normally we cover anywhere from one to like six issues in a show, and we're going to cover 8 to 12, depending on whatever, 16.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be quick if I can and try not to ramble too much.
And I'll repeat one last time. This is coming right out of the events of Secret Wars from 2015, which was a massive event that spanned every single comic that was being written by Marvel at the time, including the Ultimate Universe, with the goal of consolidating the Ultimate Universe and the main 616 universe into one universe, cleaning up some continuity, and then spitting out the new number one series, which was the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. So this is the first iteration of Black Panther, after the massive events.
It was kind of an accident. Yeah. I didn't realize that we were doing that. So this is happening concurrently with the Miles Morales that we just covered.
Sure. Yeah.
So maybe it is good that we're covering here. Good jumping on point post Secret Wars world.
Yeah.
Do you have the title page pulled up?
Yeah.
For 16?
Yes. So
this, I felt like when I read this, this was a great little drop in addition to the 60-second catch up to tell you like what has been happening in the world for us to know, jump again. Because for just so you know, after Secret Wars, like a lot of the world didn't even know that it had happened, right? It's just like they have their own memory of continuity,
right,
for it's things that happened. Wiped. So
they kind of like, wink in some of the number ones after Secret War that like they feel like they remember something, yeah. Like there's a something deep in them remembers the old continuity.
Yeah. Very similar to what happened for Flashpoint in 2011. Yeah, that okay. Right there.
Cool. So I'm going to read this just to give you a little lay of the land. So this Black Panther is the ancestral ceremonial title of T'Challa, the king of Wakanda. T'Challa splits his time between protecting his kingdom with the aid of his elite female royal guard, the Dora Milaje, which are awesome in the MCU especially, is helping protect the entire world as a member of a superhero team such as the Avengers and the Ultimates, which we also can... I might give that like an honorable mention in a couple episodes anyway. The African nation Wakanda is the most technologically advanced society on the globe. It sits upon a large deposit of an extremely rare natural resource called vibranium. Wakanda long boasted of having never been conquered. But recent events, a biblical flood that killed thousands, a coup orchestrated by Dr. Doom, and an invasion by a villain Thanos have humbled the kingdom. T'Challa recently spent some time away from the throne. His sister Shuri has been ruling as both queen and Black Panther in his absence. But she died defending Wakanda against Thanos' army. Now, T'Challa is king once more, but the people of Wakanda are restless.
So whenever I first read this, I didn't realize it was right after Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So I guess that we're saying like that's kind of where he's been. Mm-hmm. In the world, as far as the world was concerned, during Secret Wars, sure, he was running stuff.
Right.
And T'Challa was dealing with off-world issues with the Ultimates, with the Avengers, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that just kind of drops you in as the world stands now. T'Challa is back reigning and Shuri is dead.
Yes, and she was the Black Panther, which yes. Unless you're living under a rock, you're aware of after Chadwick Boseman passed away, there were heavy rumors that they were going to just put Shuri's character. Yeah. What is her name?
I can't remember.
I'll look that up in a minute. But she's probably going to be playing Black Panther in the MCU.
So I'm going to say right now, this story is complex, mm-hmm. and I'm probably going to be missing things.
I won't be able to call you out if you are.
Well, if you did read it, I might be missing things. Also, it just took me a bit. I'm just going to be reading off my notes, and you're probably going to hear a lot of stammering from me since Alex won't be able to jump in and tell me, actually, I think this is what was going on. Right. Just bear with me here. It is a story like... In the first four or five, I was like, what is happening? I don't understand.
It's not going to be complete after six.
It's
some world building.
Imagine if like you were reading Lord of the Rings and none of it made sense until Return of the King. You know, it's like, it's taken a while.
Right.
So here I go. I'm going to do the best I can. This is all under the story arc titled A Nation Under Our Feet. Okay. And as of issue 10, it's still called that. I haven't made it past issue 10 yet. All right. So to begin with, I'm just going to say this. Wakanda is kind of in turmoil. Right now, citizens have lost faith in Black Panther. There is a miner's strike at the vibranium mines. And when Black Panther went in there to try to deal with it, he had to hurt some people just for the sake of, you know, bringing order back. And there's a lot of people that are not happy about that. I mean, imagine if there was a coal mine strike and Joe Biden went in there and started swinging fists. I don't think people would be too happy about it.
What an image. I would read that comic.
Yeah. So anyway, so moving on, that's kind of the groundworks right now. There's a character we will often see in a green outfit of some sort named Zenzi, Z-E-N-Z-I. And she is at this, mine, kind of stoking the fears of people. And just helping people to see what they want to see. So it's like, if they thought the Black Panther was a menace, then they're going to continue thinking that and think it even worse because she's kind of pulling the strings. Then we move over to the, so that's one story. We kind of have, over the course of this, we have Black Panther trying to maintain order. We have Zenzi sowing, what's the word? Dissidence?
Disarray.
Disarray. Let's say Zenzi is trying to add to the chaos.
She's stoking the fire.
We have the order, we have the chaos. And then on top of that, we have Anika, who used to be a member of the Dora Milaje. She was sentenced to death after assassinating, I can't remember who it says that she assassinated, I don't know if it's important as of yet, Anyway, she's sentenced to death, but before she's able to be put to death, her beloved, who was also a member of the Dora Milaje, I can't remember what, A-Y-O, I think. Mm-hmm. She steals some experimental armor called the Midnight Angel armor. That's cool. And breaks her out. So they flee. And that's just kind of how that leaves that for the very beginning of it. Then Black Panther, we see him again, and this is where we start to realize the Shuri storyline. Mm-hmm. She's dead, but he hasn't given up yet. He has her body kind of in suspended animation type of a thing, yeah. And he's been like studying, trying to figure out how to bring her back.
Right.
So that's kind of like issue one was just, let's drop you in, let you know what all's happening. Mm-hmm. All right, so we move on. I'm just going to try to hit broad strokes here. Excuse my reading of my notes. The Midnight Angels start kind of trying to find people that they can help who they feel have been disenfranchised by the Wakandan everything, you know, the Wakandan politics, government. Government, that's a word.
Yeah.
So they like try to free some imprisoned women that are there and like start standing on the stance, no one man, like they burn it into the ground as kind of a rallying cry. Mm-hmm. But the Midnight Angels start to get their own group following them. T'Challa meets up with Zinzi and he's trying to help people. But once again, Zinzi is there like messing with people's minds to where they don't necessarily see what's happening. They just see heightened versions of it. But in addition to that, he's also like, as like Black Panther, he might be caught up in some psychosis of some sort too. I don't know. He's trying to help people. And after he's like, goes and like, I've saved you. The people that he's saved are like, what? Those people were protecting us. They were providing for us. And you just took them out. So it's just like, who's right? Who's wrong?
Right.
It's tough to know at this point. And in the chaos, Zinzi escapes. And then we find out, we kind of see from, Shuri's point of view. She is in, I can't remember what they call this, but the plane of Wakandan memory.
Yeah.
There's a name for it.
Yeah. It's like they're where they go after they die. Yeah.
I feel like we saw that.
Yeah.
In one of the movies.
He goes to see his father there.
Yes. And in the next issue, we get introduced to another guy. His name is T2. And they have this really interesting kind of bookend, opening and ending, where he's quoting something. He's like, when I was tree, and he keeps talking about the life of a tree, you know, rain, mm-hmm. all this stuff. And anyway, but he's kind of this spiritual shaman type of a guy. And we'll get how he gets connected in a bit. Then we get
this callback of the Black Order and Thanos.
Yeah, I was about to say, a little bit of flashback.
Cool.
And that's where I start putting so this is all happening. And people are like, the citizens are angry, mm-hmm. like that this has happened. You know, they've had to deal with this, but like Black Panther has done his best to keep Wakanda safe,
yeah.
and all these things. And I don't know.
Heavy is the head.
Yeah. They do talk a little bit later about T'Challa's burden.
Like, right.
He rules because he has the burden, not because he feels called to rule as much. Let's see. The Midnight Angels continue to build their army. Shuri's talking to somebody who is like taken on the visage of her mother in the plane of memory. Let's see. I'm going to skip all over that. Okay. Mm. And T2 comes in and he, I don't know if he's connected. Yeah. He's kind of lined up with Zinzi and they're trying to help each other. And T2 quotes, says one thing at one point. It is time for the Wakandans to rule themselves. Like there's a large part of the population feels like the age of kings and queens right. needs to go, which is funny because in 2022, the books I'm reading, mm-hmm. they're dealing with the fallout of that.
Oh, cool.
Like though T'Challa is still figurehead king, chairperson, whatever you want to call it,
there's like a sect of people that are like not.
There's a prime minister, and like they'll like be trying to run stuff by committee, and he's like, "You wanted to rule. You wanted to have a chance to rule yourselves. Well, this is what happens,
right?
You know. Anyway, So it's interesting to see that. There's also some other stuff that are going to happen that directly relate to that. Moving on. And this is about the point where I realized this story is basically a story of political revolution with disenfranchised citizens, people losing faith in their leaders, and then Shuri's afterlife journey. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know how many fights we've actually seen. Like it doesn't actually start to feel like a comic book,
right,
a superhero story until much later. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I keep noticing that's like, do you guys know what's the definition of confirmation bias? Is that where you can like look at a set of data and take away from it whatever you want? Like two different people could look at the same sort of thing and take away what, like,
I think that's more or less.
Because I feel like that's essentially what's happening in this. Like, because they keep
the tendency to search for, so it's the tendency to search for and interpret, favor, and recall information in a way that confirms and supports your own beliefs.
Yeah, because that's happening here. Like, between T2's group that have taken the name The People, mm-hmm. They'll look at an encounter that Black Panther had with their soldiers. Right. And look at it and be like, see that they were the ones in the right. And meanwhile, Black Panther will look at the same thing and see he's in the right. And I'm just like reading it. And I'm like,
AKA that is social media. Now.
Social media. Exactly. So I think that's whenever I started feeling differently about the story. I tried to read some of that into it.
Right.
Yeah. And Black Panther has a conversation with his mother at this point, saying she's like, you've never fully given yourself to this. You've always ruled because you feel that you have a burden. And
still an issue 3 or 4.
I have no idea. I've moved on to 4.
Okay.
And anyway, at some point she's like, you got to give yourself, you need to give the people inspiration. You can't just rule because it's your job. So they decide to go down into the streets and they kind of walk around and people are like, you know, shaking his hand at all that stuff. And then we cut away for a second. And we see just that the Midnight Angels are still doing their thing. They're building an army. T2 comes and approaches the Midnight Army or the Midnight Angels about joining together. They're like, together we can reform Wakanda how we want it. And the Midnight Angels turn T2 down. So then big time shift happens, mm-hmm. and we see he goes to talk to somebody who we learn is Ezekiel Stane.
Ah.
Yeah, and so Ezekiel, you know, does agree to help, and then we cut away, and we're back in the streets with T'Challa and his mother, and an explosion goes off while he's down there, which we, in the next issue, we quickly realize was Stane's suicide bombers using his repulsor tech. Was Ezekiel Stane the guy that was in the Invincible Iron Man we read? Mm-hmm. I just now realized that because it's all the same technology.
Right. And he looks like he's holding his mother there, T'Challa.
Yes, because,
Get her.
We leave her at this and we think she might be dead, but we come back in issue 5 and find she's just been hurt big time. But as a result of this, Black Panther kind of gets angry and he's like, no, I've tried to be kind. I've tried to do this, but these terrorists are causing trouble. No more mercy.
Right.
And that's kind of how the issue ends. And whenever we open up the next one, we have a new character that's hanging out with Black Panther. His name is Eden, goes by the name Manifold. Mm-hmm. And he's like a transporter guy. Is he an X-Men?
He is a mutant.
Mutant? Yeah. Okay, whether or not he was an X-Men. Yeah. So anyway, they're working together to help to figure out the location of where Stane was keeping his tech, his bombers.
Yeah.
And also with this, Black Panther starts thinking, you know, what I've been trying to do isn't working so well. What if I go and talk to some people, some counter-revolutionaries, like the people who have kept all these various cities together, like Madripoor and mm-hmm. all these places that live on a knife's edge. And they all, you know, give him, you know, you're too nice. You've got to do this. You've got to take no prisoners, do what you want to with the wives of these people, you know, like all these like horrible things.
Yeah.
And over the course of it, we realized that Black Panther has like turned them all down. But Stane had videos apparently of this and releases the parts where one of the guys is talking about, you need to do this. You need to be vicious. This is how you're going to gain order in Wakanda, and takes that video and releases it so that there's a public outcry, even though the video isn't released where the part is. Where Black Panther's like, no, that's terrible. I'm not going to do any of that.
Right.
He just releases the good parts for the Stain side of things. But intermixed with this, Black Panther does find one of the bomber's secret locations and kind of cuts a secret deal with him. Mm-hmm. And that we don't really learn more about what's going on with that a little bit later.
Do you need to take a quick break for your breath?
That might be a good idea.
Cool. We'll be right back. And we're back with issue 6 of Black Panther. Drew is going to take us the rest of the way.
All right, I'm going to try to be quicker about this because the next several issues do kind of just have big things that happen.
Yeah.
So essentially, we get a scene with Black Panther chatting with Tony Stark just about various things. You know, you might find that interesting if you wanted to get more on it. And then after that's over, Black Panther starts questioning. He's like, you know, I have these nanites from Dr. Doom, and we don't understand what the deal is, but he injects himself with them. This is where he makes a comment. I'm a scientist. And I'm like, well, that's news to me. So I don't know. But anyway, he injects himself with these nanites, and we don't really understand what the deal is with them. And then he zaps in and he takes himself to where he finds that Stain and all of the people are. And it turns out, I believe he's just wanting to get himself captured. And then we're going to figure out what the deal is with the nanites,
right?
Because a little bit into it, we realize that the nanites are actually camera nanites that are. So he's kind of turning the tables. He's recording, getting because he mentions earlier. Oh, this is what Tony Stark mentions.
Right,
Ezekiel Stain's kind of an old heart. You know, he's of the old generation where. He's not just going to do something. He wants to tell you about it.
Right.
So you're just like, oh, so we might get a monologue.
Right.
And so that's why Black Panther, he uses his camera nanites to get this, and then they instantly upload it so that the people can start to understand, wait a minute, maybe we didn't get the whole truth about this this video we saw earlier from the counter-revolutionaries. And while he's sitting there, before too much happens, we close with the crew.
I was just looking at that. This looks like a really cool group. Is it Luke Cage?
Luke Cage, Manifold,
Misty Knight, Storm,
yeah,
Manifold. Cool.
And they all zip in there, and that's where it ends. And basically, the issue 7 is the first of this that feels like a superhero punch 'em up comic, where the crew is just fighting, temporarily defeating Stain and the people, but eventually they teleport out of there.
I feel like it's important to know that I did not mention in my catch up that Storm. Was queen of Wakanda for quite a while and married T'Challa.
Yeah.
So there's a very long-standing love history with
that also is relevant in 2022.
Yes.
Later in the issue, we kind of cut back, and Shuri starts to realize and remember more than, you know, like she starts remembering the past, things that she has no business remembering. And it's like she has an idea and she just takes off running. And we don't really see the payoff of that for a bit. We see kind of this whole time we've been following the story of T2. Mm-hmm. And the best villains are ones that you can understand where they're coming from.
Sure.
And they're like, they truly feel like they're right. Well, that's what he is. But at the end of issue 7, he makes a comment basically saying, you know, Wakanda's broken. And the only way to fix it is to burn it down. Like he tells a kind of a fable of something like that, like the story of the robber. You know, how do you get even with a robber? Well, you burn your house down with the robber inside. And he kind of equates that to Wakanda. And then we go to issue 8, which is the last one that I'm going to cover. But we see that apparently,
it's a cool cover.
Yeah, we've kind of calmed back down with the. It seems like the nanite videos that Black Panther released have kind of regained some order in Wakanda. So things are starting to people are starting to realize maybe T2 and Zinzi and those people didn't have our best interest at heart. Maybe Black Panther ain't so bad. You know, that sort of an idea is because he's able to step back and apply himself more to the Shuri problem. And we see him in Manifold, and I guess Black Panther has built these strange suits that will, between the suits and Manifold, allow him to transport himself to the memory plane.
Right.
And basically, I'm just going to wrap it up by saying he does. Mm-hmm. And he finds Shuri. And when she comes back, like they never show the two of them actually meeting in the memory plane, but Shuri's having a conversation with the memory plane, and she sees like a portal, a rift opening up, and they're like, they're coming. They're almost here.
Yeah, I saw that one.
So, but eventually he makes it back. Black Panther and
Manifold
make it back, and they look over, and Shuri's body is gone from where she had been suspended. And then they look over, and she's just standing there in this really intense getup. And she's back, and she makes a comment. I have discovered nothing, but I remember everything.
Nice.
So in the next couple issues, we see Shuri starting to zip around and kind of, I don't think a lot of people know that she's still alive or that she's alive again. It's an interesting story. I feel like I just garbled through it and don't know how much you're able to actually follow, but it's a story you should read. Just know that you're not going to get a wrap up in six issues.
Yeah, it's a reading club. Y'all got to read the comic books to understand the comic books. We're just kind of helping you away. It'll make more sense if you've read it.
I will say that one of the things that is released in 9 or 10 is that when Shuri came back, she had supernatural powers now. Ooh. Like, I saw this
without the Black Panther.
Cool. Like, she can like zap around, like turn into a flock of ravens or crows, and then like reform, which she did in 2022. The ones I was reading, I was like, wait, when did she learn how to do that? Apparently it was in 2016.
Nice. So she's been doing it for a while.
So yeah. So that's that. There's a whole lot about the inner struggles of Wakanda in here. It felt more like the struggles of a ruling party than a superhero comic to me. But yeah, it was interesting. Good enough that I'm going to keep reading to try to connect the dots.
Cool. I will give you a quick teaser taste, and my goal will be to try to convince you that that sounds interesting enough that you should read all this, especially the stuff leading up to it. But so 2018's Black Panther is it was a cool story. It's in the same vein as this. It's the same writer, so they're taking their time. This is not a six-issue miniseries where everything's wrapped up in a tight little bow at the end of that. This is one meant for you to like sit down, take it all in, and like over the long haul. I imagine these might have been even difficult to read month to month as they came out, because there's not necessarily something at the end of every single issue that's just like a big grab me cliffhanger. But once I read eight issues, I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. This makes sense. So I'm just going to sell you on the landscape of where we find ourselves. Keep in mind, I have not finished what we just recapped at all, so I don't know how we got here. But we're in somebody that looks like T'Challa wakes up, and he sits up. There's an alarm going off. There's a bunch of men around him that look similar to him, of Wakandan descent. Everything looks very sci-fi and futuristic, and these guards come in and start demanding everybody gets to their feet. This person, which, spoiler alert, he does, it is T'Challa. We're not sure at the beginning. Gets like, he's slow to stand up, and one of the guards who's trying to just be hard comes over to punish him for standing up slow, and his reflexes kick in, and he starts defending himself very well. Starts beating up the guards. Quickly, this team of, again, very futuristic-looking soldiers come in that also look like maybe of Wakandan descent, come in, and they're breaking him out of this prison that we found out he's in, which looks like a Wakandan vibranium mine, but we're not on Earth anymore. So we're somewhere out in the outer rims of space. This person that is T'Challa doesn't know that he's T'Challa. He has no memories. He is completely without anything of his past in his brain, except he keeps having these visions of somebody who looks a lot like Aurora Monroe, Storm, saying, please come back to me. And it turns out this is kind of like a little bit of a Bourne Identity slash Star Wars slash not quite Minority Report, but basically we're in this place where the Wakandans have spread out to like the far reaches of space and started like some sects of them that like branched out from the base of Wakanda and decided that they're so good at defense that the only true line of actual defense is to remove anything that could be offensive toward them, which then suddenly gets flipped on his head is like control and mm-hmm. even genocide against other people. So there's like some extremist Wakandans that are taking over. There is somebody who is holding the mantle, not quite of Black Panther, but they do have the power of Bast, which is like implied, but this is a cool twist. This person who is essentially the acting Black Panther king went out of their way to get an extra weapon to help them, and it's a symbiote. So it's a Black Panther-infused wow. symbiote, which is a really cool idea. But then these the rebels, if you will, of this thing that were able to rescue T'Challa, which include M'Baku and Nakia, they're like the people that are with them kind of are looking at T'Challa, who doesn't believe that he is who everybody keeps saying he is, that he's like this messiah mm-hmm. chosen one that everybody's been like prophesying that would come back and bring order to everything again. So that's kind of where we're at on that
run. Got to say that your son's more interesting than mine.
I will say I helped it a lot just now. it takes a while to get through all that. Yeah. I'm picking
the selects. But I mean, you're already talking. We have space and we have symbiotes and we have, you know, that right. versus political intrigue.
Yeah, it's kind of a deconstructed Black Panther a little bit. They take away his royalty mm-hmm. status. He's literally a slave, which, you know, if we're not going to pretend that they didn't know like the parallels of that, like making a black man a slave in their comic book, like, yeah. you know, there's some real things that he's going through, like different oppression, even if it's from his own people. It's good, but it does take its time. It is not a six-issue miniseries.
Yeah.
The art is really good, especially in the first six. It seems like they did cut it up that way, and they give a new art team for afterwards. The stuff that happens after that is not bad, but I didn't prefer it over the first six issues. Hmm. I'd recommend it. It's cool. I'm interested in continuing to read, especially to see like that whole you are a Black Panther and also you have a symbiote
yeah.
with you.
I will say it that
powerful.
Another thing that makes me want to consider just continuing reading is mm-hmm. realizing that there's a straight line from the comics that I started reading from 2016 to the comics that I'm reading in 2022.
Yeah.
It's like one, it's like Black Panther. Though they may reboot it to different legacy number,
sure.
Different number ones. Like there are maybe 30 issues between what I just finished and what I'm reading currently. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's exciting to me because like one of the hardest things about comics is that rabbit hole thing.
Yeah.
And if I can just keep reading and make sense of the context of all this Wakanda stuff between 2016 after Secret Wars mm-hmm. and get all the way to 2022, I'm just like, you know, I think I'm going to try, you know, just
yeah.
chip it away and at least know a little bit more going into this next Black Panther movie when it comes out.
Sure. So. Yeah. It's going to be pretty cool. I highly recommend you read this. What do you guys think in general, Tori? Do you have any thoughts based on just a little bit that you picked up from us discussing it?
I had something that I want to read and explore more, but yeah. it's kind of
hard to do from just us vaguely describing things in a...
Right. Well, like you said, this is a book club, so
right.
yeah.
we should have done the homework.
No, that's fine. I think most of our readers and listeners will enjoy this. Again, it's just I think Drew and I, again, we read a bunch of miniseries,
yeah.
and it's easy to get like where's my formula?
Yeah, I mean,
they
even
took our 6-issue miniseries.
Even whenever I read, you know, like the Doom Patrol stuff,
yeah,
it has those every 4 to 6 issues. There's a big reveal,
right.
and I mean, I've kind of had that, but this is just mm-hmm. Ta-Nehisi Coates has taken their time. It's like let's just spend some time with this and not worry about making sure that every 6 issues there's a big cliffhanger.
Right.
And you know, so if I had known that going in, I probably would have thought of it a little bit differently. I mean, but the more I read, the more I was like, okay, I'm glad I'm reading this. It's interesting. I want to see where it's going. You just have to give it time.
Sure. Yep. Just like any good story, you know, if they don't have to rush to it, they don't have to. I think it's a good sign that they are like they went on for so long and then they brought back Ta-Nehisi Coates for the second volume after this. Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining that they stopped or that he stopped writing just because he was going on the other projects. I doubt they were like, ah, you suck at Black Panther comics. So cool. Any closing thoughts before we take a break and then jump into some trivia?
I got nothing.
We'll be right back. And we're back with our lightning round trivia, where our questions are faster than Drew and I realizing we'd read the different runs of Black Panther entering this episode.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner.
Yeah.
And I should have made a comment, like, whenever I was like, hey, in the text thread, I was like, have either of you read this one? I almost mentioned, I almost started reading 2018, but yeah. I didn't, so.
It's all right. I'm glad I did, because it directly revolves around mm-hmm. my trivia question.
Okay, cool.
You do have, I'll say, a chance of answering this, but it's a fun fact.
And for the record, I think for this month, the Black History Month, we're not going to connect the trivia rounds together. It's just, this is a Black Panther trivia.
Yep. You want to go first?
Oh, sure. Cool. I'm going to go with the basic one, because I wouldn't have, except I looked at it and it kind of surprised me. Can you guess either the title, the number, or the year of the first appearance?
I think that somewhere in my brain is the title, but like three things are revolving around in this, my third eye right here. I'm going to go with like the gut that feels the heaviest. And then if I'm wrong, I'll guess the year. Was it Fantastic Four?
Yeah. That's what surprised me.
Yeah.
I mean, I should know that because I've heard him talk about it on My Marvelous Year, but that was a long time ago. Yeah.
I think that's probably where I learned it. Was it also like the 70s, 76 or something like that? I don't know, remember when it happened.
1966.
Okay, cool. So it's been around for a while.
Fantastic Four number, do you want to guess?
In 66, let's see, when did Marvel Comics start in the 50s? Fantastic Four number 91.
52.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you got a point.
I'll take it. I'm trying to make this not impossible for you to answer. The answer is somebody that you are aware of. Okay, so
aware of you.
Let me just preface.
That's a Seinfeld.
Yeah, I'll set it up. So I mentioned this Black Panther-esque king in the volume that I read, having a symbiote. And this symbiote comes from the planet of Clintar, I believe, or that's also like the species they are. It's a Clintar symbiote, which is all under the symbiote of like Null. Null created all the symbiotes. But this specific breed of symbiote has origin from an unnamed planet that shares a home planet with a famous Thor villain. Can you tell me who that Thor villain is?
My guess is the God Butcher.
That is correct. I'll give it to you. It's Gore. Gore the God Butcher.
Yeah, I couldn't remember his first name because that was from the Jason Aaron run, right?
Yeah.
Which is high on my list. I've been thinking about going back and rereading.
Yeah, so Clintar is a species of symbiote that originate from Gore's planet. So same planet as Gore's where they came from. So it's a nice little tie-in, like tying those together. I almost just said just a villain, but I was like, there's so many villains. He's never going to guess that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Point for you, sir. Also, I think that one's just cool. Just like,
yeah,
it's a nice cross.
I didn't realize that. I'd never thought about the origin of symbiotes.
Oh yeah,
and how deep it goes. That's kind of crazy.
Maybe one day we'll read the Absolute Carnage event, which is like a lot of symbiote venom carnage books that crosses everything.
Torrance, did you come up with one?
Yeah.
Tiebreaker.
Da-da.
This is a round of name that supervillain.
Your mom. Just kidding.
Okay, there's a couple layers to this. What is the first name of the villain that Adolf Hitler sent to Wakanda to learn their secrets?
Ulysses.
Correct.
Is that the Red Skull?
No, that's the Claw. Ulysses Claw.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's a cool fact, though. I had no idea that Hitler sent him there. That's because I knew that the Claw, Ulysses S. Claw, was a Black Panther villain. Cool. Huzzah!
You win this round.
2-1. And then there were none.
Yes.
are you getting a lot of reverb now?
Yeah. Okay. The longer it goes, it does that.
Okay, it's fine.
It's fine on the recording. It's just us.
Okay, cool. Just making sure that...
So for those of you listening at home, you have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, it sounds funny in our headphones right now. Cool. Any closing thoughts on this?
No, I'll go ahead and say... if you want to be prepared next month, have a full week, or next week, have a full week to prepare. We're going to go ahead and jump over to Green Lantern Far Sector.
Yep.
It's a DC title from a year or so back. It's really good. It's 12 issues. So there's quite a bit to it, but it's a deep book.
Yeah. So. I will give you like a half percent. This isn't a spoiler. This is just what the book is about. Just like, obviously it's a black character because we're doing a lot of black characters, Black History Month, but it is a black Green Lantern that is not Hal Jordan.
You mean
Jonathan Stewart. Sorry. Yeah. Which was a really interesting kind of premise to me because yeah. normally there's only been one of those. Super cool. You should check it out. I will also say that this month is really important to me personally. Black History Month has always been something that I like try to like go out of my way, educate myself a little bit more. Some of you may or may not know, I have a minor in African and African-American history, something that I just went out of my way to better myself and educate myself, and I've learned a lot. And I think it's worth everybody to go out of their way, not just during this month, but year round, and just kind of learn about perspectives and experiences that are different than your own. And hopefully you get some of that through the reading of these comic books, but it doesn't hurt to go get some real life stories too, just to be aware of. I feel like being aware is a very powerful thing.
Like last month, I finally watched Lovecraft Country.
Uh-huh.
God, that there were so many
episodes
of that just made me angry.
Yep. And to close out, I will say, don't be racist, or I will kill you.
All right.
Anything else? Cool. We're ending with that. We'll see you next time on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast with Far Sector. Bye.
Stick around after the credits to hear the recorded revelation that we both read different books.
Good stuff. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
Okay. Yeah, we're good. All right. So I'm ready if you're ready.
We're covering Black Panther.
Number one from 2016.
Is it 16?
I think so. I don't have it pulled up. I feel like it's 16. One through... You should say number one through eight.
See, it says 2018 on here.
Oh, did you read a different one than I did?
It's all the space stuff, right? Did we read different ones?
Yes, we read different ones.
Nice.
Let me show you this. Because let me show you the cover of the one that I read. I almost started reading that one. And I was like, this feels different.
Okay, well.
See, look at that.
That's the same. Okay. That's got to be inspiration.
Look at these two different covers, Torrance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's looking at it on that screen.
Okay, yeah. See, almost the same.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I learned, and you tell me what you learned.
Then I'll be even quicker.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be able to do some big level stuff.
So.
Okay, so I guess I should pull up the one that you read. I was like, I thought this was from 2018.
This all needs to be the tag at the end. The realization.
Black Panther.
I'm glad I asked, though it would have been fun to have this realization actually live.
We get in there, I'm like, dude, what are you talking about, you crackhead?
So it's funny that you felt the same way about that I did about the first eight issues,
and we read
different series.
Yeah, and it's the same author.
Yeah. Wow.